Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. Just two of Delaware's 19 school districts have a formal policy outlining protections for transgender and gender nonconforming students, ensuring their preferred names and pronouns are used by all other students and staff, and allowing students to use the bathrooms and locker rooms and play on sports teams that align with their gender identity. This week, Delaware Public Media's Rachel Swicky explores the need for these policies and how the districts that have them created them.
I saw a lot of people come out after leaving because it wasn't a space that was easy to be trans in.
Fina Grimes graduated from Indian River in 2017. Grimes identifies as transmasculine non-binary and says they've always presented that way, but were never in an environment where they could explore what their gender identity was, let alone come out as trans.
I feel like it was probably the first year I went to college that I actually started like actively using different pronouns. And I feel like that was a thing for a lot of people who went to Indian River.
Grimes endured constant bullying, verbal and physical. They regularly heard slurs and once had a facial piercing ripped out by a classmate on the bus, leaving them feeling unwelcome in any space at school, but especially the locker room.
I remember having like my shirt off and like girls like making like a very weird, "Are you going to like do something to me?" kind of comment. And it's like, are you going to do something to me? I'm literally half naked.
K-Penlopen parent Diane Scarantino says her child is currently experiencing similar events. She says after a bullying incident that turned physical, her transgender son was returned to the same gym class it happened in, where verbal harassment ensued.
I am definitely not going to say the school's failed, but I can definitely say they need some improvement in the culture in the schools for the kids and maybe the staff too.
Stories like these have prompted efforts to create policies to address how schools protect LGBTQ plus students' rights and the bullying they often face, specifically trans students. Licensed clinical social worker Reverend Carla Fleshman runs Transitions Delaware, a counseling consultation and training service for LGBTQ youth, young adults, and their families. In 2019, she wrote an article for the Delaware Journal of Public Health outlining four pillars to create safer and more inclusive schools for LGBTQ youth, the first of which is implementing policies that protect all youth across the spectrum of sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression, or SOGI. She argues creating clear school policies using this model is about more than just handling bullying in the moment.
Unaddressed bullying impacts us. It changes our brains. When you are in trauma on a regular basis, the research shows the connection between trauma, autoimmune disease, and the research shows the connection between LGBTQ youth experiencing trauma and how that impacts them in school and after school. This is a health crisis not taken care of all of our kids.
Fleshman notes anti-bullying policies that are explicitly inclusive of SOGI and are enforced show a significant reduction in the risk of suicide attempts in LGBTQ plus youth in both middle and high school, and they also give teachers more tools to help their students.
Then they actually are hung out to dry when a parent who is not safe, who is not affirming, and who actually can be outright dangerous to the kiddo comes in. That's how we end up with statistical research shows most of our homeless youth are LGBTQ. And most of our homeless youth who are LGBTQ ended up being homeless because of physical, emotional, sexual abuse in the home.
In Delaware, the Christina School District was the first to pass a policy with protections for transgender and gender nonconforming students in early 2021. Board member Claire O'Neill says the effort started with then board member Elizabeth Page, who resigned in March 2020. O'Neill took over, reaching out to transgender advocates to help fine-tune Page's draft and get it across the finish line. The policy follows the SOGI model, asserting that students have the right to be addressed by the name and pronouns that correspond to their gender identity. Students can also use the bathroom or locker room that corresponds with their gender identity, but may also request a single stall or private restroom or changing area.
Once you provide the safety and security for people to just be who they want to be, that you realize that they've been there all along and that they've been hiding and that they've been scared and sad and things can be different if you just support them for being who they are.
To the surprise of many, the district didn't face much backlash at all.
Zero people showed up for public comment or emailed us at all about this policy, except in the positive, like, yay, finally, somebody is doing something.
And O'Neill says it wasn't a heavy lift. She says across the board, students and administrators said these practices were already happening.
That our teachers and our administrators are acting in the best interest of our students. I know that that is not happening everywhere in the United States.
The Red Clay School District also created a formal policy in 2021, similar to Christina's, in that students have a right to choose how they're addressed and which gendered facilities they use. But Red Clay's experience passing it was much different.
And that was really sad and hard to experience. Certainly a challenge for our district and the greater community. It was a meeting that was, it was violent and it was very contentious.
That's Red Clay School Board President Jose Matthews, who says he spent his first several years on the board drumming up enough political will to pass the policy.
Even though the issue had been brought up prior to me being on the board, it takes, you know, sometimes years of advocacy until you can get to a point where you have, you know, the ability to see the change that we needed to see.
Matthew says they relied on other examples of successful policies across the country, plus local expert voices, to shape their own. They also sought legal advice to explore all possible outcomes.
You know, if you don't pass a policy like this, making sure that we have a process and protections in place for gender nonconforming students and trans students. The case law, time and time and again, when challenged, has proven that, you know, they do have rights, and we, you know, they are American citizens. They are people who have rights, and if we violate their rights, we will be sued, and for a lot of money.
State Representative Deshauna Neal played a hand in creating Red Clay's policy, noting their own struggles to find a supportive school for their transgender child, who they homeschooled until high school.
When sending my now 13-year-old into school, where they are seen and heard, they can use whatever bathroom they're comfortable with, I don't mind sending them to school. I don't question what's going to happen.
But Neal understands the difficulties of delivering a policy that works. Both policies say that when contacting the parent or guardian of a transgender or gender diverse student, school personnel should use the student's legal name and the pronoun corresponding to the student's gender assigned at birth, unless the student, parent, or guardian has specified otherwise, which Neal explains is a way to prevent the school from outing a student that isn't ready to tell their family. A draft of Red Clay's plan included requiring parental approval to use a student's preferred name and pronouns, but Neal says that could put a child in danger.
What they're doing in school, unless it is harmful to them or others, they're bullying, they're doing something they're not doing well, you know, where you do have to interact with the parents, you still don't have to tell the parents their name. We don't question when a cisgender child comes to you and tells you that they want to go by a different name. We immediately do it.
And it's issues like that one that makes creating a statewide policy a tough hill to climb. Neal was instrumental in putting together a statewide policy proposal in 2018, Regulation 225, which was ultimately shelved due to controversy over the parental consent clause. And Neal isn't sure when another statewide policy may be proposed.
We know for a fact that there are trans kids throughout the state. Why aren't we protecting them too? Protecting them doesn't mean we don't care about their parents. Protecting them means we are trying to set up a new generation of living, happy, thriving Delaware residents. What is so difficult about that?
For now, the work remains at the district level and is taking different forms. Neal notes that some, such as Brandywine, are effectively already following policies like Christina and Red Clay, but have concerns about the potential pushback while dealing with other immediate concerns.
But I don't think right now they want to deal with the vitriol that comes from it while also dealing with, we don't have enough money. Our buildings are falling apart.
Back in Cape Henlopen, parent Diane Scarantino took matters into her own hands, advocating for her child and requesting numerous meetings with teachers and administrators.
There was some kind of mandated discipline in the policy for teachers that kind of turned their heads. That would probably prompt teachers to get moving when somebody says something.
Scarantino says the district suggested a gender support plan several years ago when her son was in elementary school. Her son's plan was revised following recent incidents to include his preferred name and pronouns, along with access to the nurse's office and administrative bathrooms when he feels unsafe using the common ones.
So it's kind of in place of policy, which it would be nice if it was added in.
Another Cape Henlopen parent and local minister, Reverend Kathy Ryan Starr, has two kids in the district. Their youngest is gender fluid. Starr also identifies as gender queer and is advocating for a concrete policy to hold all district students and staff accountable.
Right now, our teachers are going with their best guts, which is sometimes really great, which is sometimes not so great, and which is sometimes really leaves them in limbo of kids saying one thing, admin saying another, parents are saying another, and that puts teachers in a very difficult place and students in a very difficult place, and policy clarifies that.
And Star adds kids will discover these topics one way or another.
Gender and sexuality are in school whether we like it or not, because they're talking about it anyways.
But Red Clay Board President Jose Matthews warns that just having a policy is not enough. While he believes Red Clay's policy lifted weight off of students' shoulders, there's still work to be done surrounding the culture.
Despite having protections and despite having, you know, policies and laws put in place, racism did not go away. And same with bigotry with gender nonconforming and trans folks. The bigotry that they face certainly has not gone away either.
Another social worker at Transitions Delaware, Finn Ward, adds, even kids who attend schools with policies or procedures still suffer from a culture of bullying.
It doesn't matter that the policy is more inclusive. It's the environment for these kids that is the same. And that's the dilemma. No, there's been no change in environment.
Ward says that without more buy-in to create that environment, pushback against policies that provide gender-affirming protections tells kids with those identities they're not welcome in school.
To be so real with you, I don't think I have one kid on my roster that enjoys being at school. Not one kid. All the way down to my five-year-old I see. It just fosters a space of shame for the kids who do have those identities, or the kids who may not be out and now for sure will not come out. And they hear the narratives, they hear the politics, they go to school, they hate being trans. They hate being trans.
Fina Grimes says they often felt that way while in Indian River, but like most LGBTQ students, knew which teachers were safe to confide in about preferred names and pronouns and who they could rely on when they felt threatened. They say the goal is to make that universal.
Like ones that had better relationships with students would like honor things like that. I do think a policy obviously would make it so there is something to reference and kind of like make them kind of respect it in a way.
Or as Transitions Delaware's Reverend Carla Fleshman suggests,
it's not the kids that need to change. It's the policies and procedures that need to change and recognize that we have a very diverse community that should be celebrated, honored, and supported.
Rachel Sawicki, Delaware Public Media.
Thanks, Rachel. And stay with us. The Green continues with a look at ways to build on programs like the Creative Vision Factory that seek to assist those facing homelessness, addiction, and mental health issues. This is The Green on Delaware Public Media.